digital LEDs pulse and flicker, finally resting on the number 24.
Previously on 24. Vladimir attacked you, and you defended yourself. That's what happened.
I don't know.
I do. If anybody else wants to ask you questions about that, I'll be right there with you to answer them.
You were implying something about Dana, and I want to know what it is.
I think she went to meet some guy.
Take a look at this. You think you can find her?
You promised me I'd do this one thing for you, and then you leave me alone.
That's not gonna happen. This is a sweet operation that we got going here. You know, you getting the access codes and us pulling the jobs.
You can't do this to me, Kevin.
Dana looks sidelong from a car as Kevin emerges from the club.
You know who I am?
All I know is that there's a very powerful man in the Russian syndicate who's been trafficking weapons-grade uranium.
Who do you work for?
I'm not at liberty to say.
Dimitri, work on him until he's ready to tell us everything.
Jack overpowers his torturer and then does battle with Bazaev and his men.
It's over, you know that, right?
You want to know where the rats are? I will tell you. But I want full immunity.
Ortiz's team storms the truck to find the rods gone.
Commander, you seeing this?
Where the hell are the rods?
We picked up trace radiation signatures. The rods were here.
I told you. They were there. I had two of my men guarding them.
We found their bodies, both shot.
Joseph.
I wasn't sure I believed Joseph that you would betray your father.
You were upset that he was holding up delivery of the rods. Now I've gotten them for you.
When will you get here?
Less than 5 minutes. Just have my money ready.
The grim-faced Joseph transports a metal packing case.
The following takes place between 12 a.m. and 1 a.m.
A large black van pulls up in a dark alley. At the wheel sits Joseph. He cuts the engine and turns once more to look at the forbidding metal case lying in the hold of the van. He seems to come to a decision and gets out. Jack guides Bazaev into a back room. CTU men stand at the door as Jack sits Bazaev down on the bed in the storeroom. The Russian looks balefully up at Jack as he makes a call on his phone.
CTU O'Brien.
Chloe, it's Jack. Do you have Hastings there?
Yes.
Are you ready to trace the call?
We're ready. As soon as Bazaev gets his son on the phone, we can begin to triangulate.
Okay, hold on.
Joseph paces by the side of his van. He reaches for his phone.
Farhad, where are you? You're late.
Joseph, it's me, your father.
Don't hang up. Stay on the line. Please. I know you have the rods.
Yes. I wanted you to know.
The police know too. They're here.
You told the police?
Of course not. It was Vladimir Zbaya. He's a federal agent.
Joseph, just so we're up front, I'm here with your father. My name is Jack Bauer. I work with CTU.
I'll do what you want with him. I don't care.
Maybe you don't, but your father cares about you. He negotiated immunity for you. All you need to do is bring the fuel rods in. You can put the rest of this behind you. It's the only way you'll be safe.
Safe? Did my father tell you about my other brother?
What he did to him?
Oleg was dying, you know that.
Yeah, we could have saved him. He would be alive if not for your precious deal.
You're right. Maybe you're right. I don't know, but that does not bring Oleg back. And I cannot bear to lose another son.
Don't worry about me. I'll be fine.
No, you won't be. You won't be anything. It's over. Federal agents are here, going through everything. The entire city is under guard. If you don't bring the rods in, they will hunt you down. They will kill you, Joseph. I won't be able to protect you. I don't want to see you hurt.
Joseph considers this, his face intent and skeptical.
If I hand over the rods, how does this work?
Tell us where you are and we'll bring you in.
Just like that, after everything we've done?
Yes, I told you. They've given us immunity. Please, Joseph, please.
This is your last chance. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
You need to bring him in now, before Farhad gets there.
Joseph, did you hear that?
You need to move. Joseph.
All right, I'm on my way. I'll call you from the road to let you know where to meet me.
Careful with the rods.
Farhad has a sniper team on a rooftop.
Sounded like shots fired.
You need to help him. Where is he?
I don't know.
Chloe, did you get a trace on that call?
Not exactly, but it looks like he was in Central Queens near Flushing Meadow Park.
I want units combing that area. Jack, bring your suspect back to CTU.
Copy that. Get him ready for transport now.
Farhad and his men run at speed towards the van.
Is he dead?
Yes.
We need to hurry.
The boat is waiting for us at the port.
The port may not be the right thing.
What do you mean?
The authorities know our plan. We need to know what.
One of the men goes to open the case. Farhad stops him. Don't touch that. Another man stamps on Joseph's still-open mobile.
Did you get that?
Yes, Jack. We're trying to get an ID off the voice print. So far, no luck locking down a location.
Copy that. We're on our way back now.
1206. Bazaev is put into a black CTU SUV. Jack takes the wheel of a similar vehicle. Chloe runs voice analysis software.
We need to hurry. Take the van and get the rods to port.
We've got a match for the voice at the end of the call. Farhad Hassan.
So we've got his fuel rods. Any idea on the other man we heard?
No, sir.
Mr. Hastings, Rob Weisfried.
Tell him I'll be right with him. Give me an ETA on Bazaev.
Yes, sir.
We'll start the interrogation as soon as he gets here.
Chloe looks thoughtful. She makes a call.
Yeah.
Jack, it's Chloe. Hastings wants your ETA. He's anxious to interrogate Bazaev.
I'm about 15 minutes out, but I wouldn't count on getting anything from him. If Bazaev could have told me how to get to the people that just killed his son, he would have.
Jack, I heard about what you went through. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks. How's Renee?
Pretty worried about you.
They've still got her in medical.
Yeah. Could you pass me through to her?
Hold on.
Okay.
Renee stands in a clinically tiled room.
Hey, Renee, I have Jack.
Jack.
How are you?
I'm fine. What about you?
We had a line on the fuel rods. We lost it.
So what's the plan now?
It's Hastings' call. I'm bringing the prisoner back to CTU, then I'm out. They ask you about what happened? About Vladimir?
Yes, Chloe did.
Chloe did the debrief?
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't really call it a debrief. We talked, mostly, and then I wrote a statement.
And you explained how you acted in self-defense?
Yes, like we agreed.
That's how it happened. Renee, you've got to stick with that.
Yeah, yes, I'm going to try.
I know this is hard for you, but you did nothing wrong. And you need to start believing that. Okay?
Okay. Jack, I don't know how to say this, so I'm just going to say it because I need to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding, but...
When you say that I have you...
I meant it like it sounded.
So now what do we do?
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
I'll be there in about 15 minutes.
Bye. Renee hangs up as she allows this piece of news to land. Her troubled expression breaks into a slight smile. 1208. Hastings hurries up the stairs to his glass-walled office. He takes a call on the speakerphone.
Rob, it's Brian.
I just got a flash from your office how this immunity situation the president authorized played out. It's not good, Brian. Really not. Now, as I understand it, Basayev's son swiped the rods from his father before we got there.
That's correct.
And now the son is dead.
Yes.
Do we know who has the rods now?
Apparently it's Farhad Hassan.
And where is he?
We're looking.
Meaning you have no idea.
Brian, I pushed the president to resurrect CTU with you at the helm. Now, you tell me you can do the job. I believe you.
I can do the job.
Good to hear it. Because when things get this colossally screwed up, people look for someone to blame.
So what are you saying?
I'm saying I don't want that person to be you. I put you there. You're my guy. If you fail, I fail. And that cannot happen. Are we on the same page here?
So what have you got in mind?
Renee Walker.
She killed one of our main leads, isn't that correct?
He was a psychopath. She was defending herself.
She stabbed him
15 times.
What, are you saying it was murder?
I'm saying that's for lawyers to decide.
We're talking about a woman who put her life on the line when she didn't have to.
I'm sure that will weigh in her favor.
You know what a conviction would mean? She'd go away for years.
Well, someone has to pay for this, Brian, so you tell me, who do you want that to be? sending someone over from Justice, Kristen Smith. She'll take care of everything.
What do you need from me?
Just open the door and get out of the way.
Hastings ponders this miserably. 12:10, end of part one. Part two, 12:14. Ortiz is still at the truck stop.
We did a sweep, sir. No trace of any hazardous materials.
All right, finish up. Get back to base.
Yes, sir.
Arlo?
Yeah.
You find Dana yet?
I think so. I'm dragging the GPS coordinates off her phone.
All right, send them to my PDA.
You sure that's a good idea? I mean, there could be a reasonable explanation why she's...
Hey, you're the one who stuck his nose in all this. Just do it.
Okay. Coordinates are on your phone.
Thanks. Look, I'm sending everyone back to CTU.
What are you going to do?
I'll be there within the hour. If Hastings asks, just tell him I'm following up a lead.
Look, I know Dana means a lot to you, but do you really think this is worth going AWOL over?
It's my fiancé, Arlo.
Ortiz closes his phone and stands there grimly reflective. He turns towards his team.
Jim, I'm taking your vehicle. Find Owen, have him take SWAT back to CTU. So I'll be right behind him.
No problem, sir.
Ortiz gets behind the wheel of the SUV. He sits pondering for several seconds. Finally, however, he drives off at some speed. Dana circumspectly drives her small car over an area of rough parkland. 12:16. She pulls up in the lee of some trees. From here, she observes Kevin's battered Dormobile van coming to a halt in a clearing. She glares broodingly across and then slides her gun out of her bag. In the rear of the van, Kevin is pawing at one of the smiling women while Nick reclines with the other one. Dana, anything but smiling, pulls out a silencer and screws it into the barrel of her powerful-looking nickel-plated pistol. Her eyes are alight with vengeful resolve.
Is Dana back yet?
I don't think so, sir. Do you need her for something?
Do I need her for something? Yes, Arlo. She's my chief data analyst. I need her to do her job. You track her down and you let me know when you find her.
Mr. Hastings, Kristen Smith from the Justice Department is here to see you.
Thank you.
Hastings looks across to see an attractive black or mixed race woman. He seems to smirk slightly and crosses to her.
Ms. Smith.
Mr. Hastings.
Did Rob Weiss brief you?
He did. I have to interview a Renee Walker. I read her statement on the way over.
Did it appear to you that she's guilty of murder?
Mr. Weiss warned me you might have issues with this.
With hanging a brave woman out to dry? Yes, I do.
There are major discrepancies between her statement and the forensic evidence. All I'm asking her to do is to set the record straight. I feel it would be prudent to restrict surveillance access to this interview.
Fine.
But I would also like a video record of it in the event of legal proceedings. Can I ask you to provide that?
Yes, right this way, please.
Renee sits pensively in the tiled clinic area. The door opens and Chloe enters, placing on the table a file.
This is a transcript of your statement. You should review it before you sign it.
Okay.
How far did Jack say he was?
15 minutes.
This is Kristen Smith from Justice. She needs to talk to Renee, so if you'll excuse us, Chloe.
Talk to her about what?
Now, Chloe.
Chloe glares as only she can and walks out, leaving Renee sitting there.
Thank you, Mr. Hastings.
Before Hastings exits, Smith shares with him a complicit and rather flirtatious smile.
What is she talking to her about? She was about to sign her statement. I already debriefed her.
Kristen just needs to fill in a few details.
I already filled in the details.
I know that you are protective of Renee. I respect that.
Then let me sit in on the interview.
Why? Was your debrief not a full and honest statement of the facts? We have nuclear materials in the hands of terrorists. Now I need you back at your desk, focused on that.
Yes, sir.
Chloe stomps off. 12:19, The dark van carrying the fuel rods drives slowly through narrow streets.
What is this place?
A staging area. It belongs to a businessman who supports our cause.
I don't want to delay too long. We need to find another way to get the nuclear rods out of the country.
You heard what the Americans said to Bazaev's son. They already know what we're trying to do.
Which is why we need to move quickly.
The Americans are not stupid, Farhad. If we go near any airfield or harbor now, the radiological detectors will spot us.
Farhad looks darkly across at the driver. The van goes up a short ramp and into some kind of warehouse space. A number of men stand around the open rear of a truck. Farhad eyes them suspiciously. The van pulls up and the driver gets out, as does Farhad.
Who are these men, Samir?
These are men I have recruited. Our men.
What are they doing here?
They are going to unload the rods. We need to get rid of the van.
And then what?
You should rest.
I don't need to rest. I need to know what we're doing.
One of the men looks to Samir, who nods subtly.
We can't get the rods out of the country, so let's use them.
Use them? How?
As a weapon, a radiological bomb. We'll show the Americans how strong we are.
Show them how strong we are? Are you out of your mind? If we use the rods against the Americans, they will destroy our country. They'll bomb us, invade.
And if we do nothing, they'll invade us anyway. That's what this peace treaty with your brother is all about. They're trying to turn us into another corrupt Mideast regime with your brother as dictator, kept in power by American guns and money. Isn't that what we came together to prevent?
Farhad casts a glance around at the armed men surrounding him. He sucks his teeth, perplexed and nervous.
Is there no other way?
America will always be our enemy. Remember, my friend, even a giant can be toppled by a single stone. We need to make them fear us.
Samir has placed a hand on Farhad's shoulder. Farhad agonizes. Finally, he nods almost imperceptibly.
And I'm with you.
In saying this, Farhad seems to have ceded control to Samir, who now vigorously climbs into the truck and sets about overseeing the transfer of the rods. Farhad takes several steps back, his expression full of worry. A forklift truck lifts the shiny metal case containing the rods. It backs away from the van, past Farhad. 12:22, end of part two. Part three, 12:27, Smith interviews Renee.
So, you said in your statement that you killed Vladimir Leitanin in self-defense.
Is that correct?
Yes, that's why it's in my statement.
What I didn't see in the statement was any mention of your history with Leitanin. You did have a history with him.
I worked an undercover operation with the FBI 6 years ago. Vladimir Leitanin was the target.
And during the course of that operation, you had to get close to him. He became obsessed with you. He tried to rape you.
Yes.
But you were able to stop him.
I fought him. Put me in the hospital with 2 broken ribs. I'm sure that's in there too.
You were able to fight off a stronger, violent man. That's impressive. But this time when he attacked you, you didn't fight him off.
I couldn't. He had his hands around my neck trying to strangle me.
I understand. He thought he was going to kill you. You would fear for your life.
Smith coolly pulls out photos from the file.
So what happened next?
He was choking me. Grabbed a knife and I stabbed him.
In self-defense?
Yes.
You stabbed him in self-defense 15 times. 15 times. First blow alone could have stopped him. But you didn't stop. Look at me, Renee. You were an investigator for the FBI. By all accounts, one of the best they had. Put yourself on my side of the table. Look at what I'm looking at. There's a dead body. On the one hand, I have your statement saying you acted in self-defense. On the other, I have these. Evidence of a sustained and furious assault with clear intent to kill. Now, as an investigator, you know which version is true, don't you?
Acted in self-defense.
Smith surveys Renee with forensic calm.
Let me tell you what I think happened. You used an operation of unparalleled importance to seek revenge against the target without any regard for the final outcome.
I'm telling you, he attacked me first.
Ms. Walker, I am well aware of your sacrifice and service to this country. But I do not think that it is fair or right that CTU should be taken down because you used this operation to seek out your own personal vendetta against Vladimir Leitanin. I looked at your file. This isn't the first time you lost control. You almost killed Alan Wilson. That's why you got fired by the FBI, isn't it?
Yes.
See what this is doing to you, Renee. It is tearing you up inside. Let it out. Tell me the truth. You killed Vladimir Leitanin because the thought of him touching you again was intolerable. Do the right thing here. That's what happened, isn't it, Renee?
Hastings observes the interrogation on the monitor. Renee sits, tears rolling down her otherwise expressionless face.
Is that right, Renee?
:31, a pair of black SUVs pull up at the underground entrance.
Put him into holding. No phone calls, no communication.
I would like to see my son's body.
We haven't found him yet.
Trying to reach you. It's about Renee. She's being questioned again.
I thought you said you already completed the debrief.
I did. Hastings ordered it. He called in some woman from the Justice Department.
Where's Renee now?
She's in medical.
Can you get eyes in that room?
No, he cut off all access. What is going on?
They're setting her up to take the fall for the failure of this mission.
Chloe's expression registers resentful frustration. She looks across to where Bazeev stands in the frame of a full-body scanner. Jack approaches a man on guard outside medical.
Sorry, sir, no one's...
Jack uses the man's now limp hand on the palm recognition lock and enters medical.
I'm setting you up. Don't say another word.
It's too late.
What do you think you're doing? Get out of here now.
How dare you? After everything she's sacrificed, after everything she's lost, have you no decency?
Jack.
This is over.
Head to the air. Do it now!
Son, you better put that down, or you're gonna get hurt. It's all right. Go.
Other men appear and taser Jack from behind.
Ma'am, head to the air.
:32. At the warehouse, Farhad looks on as a small crane precision lifts the rods out of their case.
Do you have what you need? Turn the rods into a bomb?
We're gathering materials.
Must be difficult at such short notice.
Explosives, no. Detonator. We're working on it.
I might know somebody. A professor in the city. With expertise in electronics.
You sure he can be trusted?
Yes. He will help. He will do whatever I ask. But still, I would bring this up very carefully. I need to talk to him in private.
Very well. There's a phone in the office. Ali will take you.
Ali leads Farhad away towards the office after exchanging a tiny nod with Samir. Another young man in the group watches as if with concern and follows them away. Samir continues to oversee the transfer of the rods. Farhad walks between stacks of materials with Ali.
What is the target? Is that decided? So many targets in New York. It'll be hard to choose.
Farhad grabs a wrench and attacks Ali. Ali trips him up, but Farhad hits him again and runs. The other young man spots him.
Samir! Over here!
You need a shot! Yalla!
Farhad emerges, limping into the night. The other young man runs to the aid of the injured Ali. Samir arrives with reinforcements.
Kill this Farhad, he escaped.
Find him! Now! You need a shot!
12:39. Farhad tries to find a hiding place. Dana sits staring icily out at Kevin's van. Jack, cuffed and under guard, is led up to Hastings' office.
Cuffs off. Give us the room. Sit down, Jack.
I'll stand. So this is the new CTU. You hang your own.
If you mean Renee Walker, we're just asking some questions. Standard procedure.
Standard procedure is a debrief which Chloe completed, but instead you've got some hack from Justice in there trying to initiate a criminal prosecution.
We're just trying to establish the facts.
You're trying to save your ass. I was there when you asked her for her help, and she gave it to you, and we acquired the target. And this is how you pay her back. I'm not going to let you do this. I'll call the White House first.
The White House knows. Rob Weiss sent that woman over here.
Sorry, maybe I wasn't clear. I meant I'd call the president.
Well, good luck with that, Jack, because I think the president takes murder pretty seriously. My recollection, she prosecuted her own daughter. Now, I'm not asking. Sit down.
Jack, maintaining eye contact throughout with Hastings, unhurriedly moves to a chair and sits. Chloe hurries up the stairs to Hastings' office.
Sorry to interrupt.
We're busy, Chloe.
I don't mean to intrude, but I've got Farhad Hassan on the line.
Farhad Hassan?
I didn't believe it either, but the voice prints match.
Can you tell where he is?
No, he's on a secure line. Can I just put him through?
Hastings gestures to the speakerphone.
Mr. Hassan.
This is Brian Hastings, director of CTU.
There are people chasing me. They have the rod you're looking for.
I thought you had the rods.
No, no more. They turned against me. They have their own plan. An attack on New York.
An attack on New York? When exactly?
Soon. Very soon.
Who are these people?
The IRK operatives working in this country.
Okay, I need names.
Just get me out of here. I'll tell you everything I know.
We'll get you out, Mr. Hassan. I give you my word. Now, where are you?
Forest. Hills. Some kind of boat warehouse. Hurry. I'm injured. They're hunting me.
You hold on and keep this line open.
What do you want me to do?
Pinpoint his location and get me Cole.
I can't.
What do you mean you can't?
His team came back. He didn't. Owen said he was following a lead.
All right, fine. Give me Owen. Tell him he's going to be leading the team.
Owen, are you sure?
Just do it, Chloe.
Chloe, eternally vexed, hastens away. Jack glances towards her and then looks back to Hastings.
They're going to take you down and process you. I want you out of this building.
All right.
Jack gets up and leaves. 12:42. Shrugging off the guard, he descends the stairs with one dismissive glance at Hastings. Dana continues staring at Kevin's van. She looks up as the side door slides open and the two women get out, hurriedly straightening their clothes.
Hey, come on. What's
What's the hurry?
What's the hurry? Your friend's a total freak show.
I know, but come on, look, don't go. I'll make it up to you, okay? Come on, at least let me give you a ride back into town.
We'll walk.
Night, ladies. Take a leap.
Nick throws a rock at the van as he heads off down the pathway, leaving Kevin chuckling drunkenly. Dana slowly takes her gun and cautiously gets out of the car. Keeping in the shade of the trees, she walks slowly in the direction of the van. As she draws closer, she is surprised at the arrival of a large black SUV driven by Ortiz.
Cole, what are you doing here?
You're asking me that? We're in the middle of an operation, Dana. You can't just abandon your post.
I can explain.
I can explain later. Right now, I'm taking you back to CTU. We can deal with our personal problems after we've secured the nuclear materials.
It's not what you think.
Yeah? What do I think?
I am not sleeping with him.
Save it. I saw the pictures.
What pictures?
Just get in.
I'm not leaving.
Why the hell not?
Because if I leave, this will never end.
What will never end?
You do not understand.
Then make me understand, damn it.
I don't think that I can.
Try.
Okay.
He opens the door and she gets into the passenger seat of the SUV. Ortiz turns and looks intently at the shabby van. He walks round and gets into the driver's seat. He turns expectantly to Dana.
We don't have a lot of time, so you better start talking.
My name is not Dana Walsh. It's Jenny Scott.
12:45, end of part 3. Part 4, 12:49. Farhad, still on the phone to CTU, grimaces in pain in his hiding place. Samir's men appear to be closing in, raking the darkness with rifle-mounted flashlights. Ali receives a call.
Yes.
You find Farhad?
Still looking. I injured him badly. He won't get far.
We don't know who he might have contacted. I'll be traveling with the roads to a secure location.
He wants me to come in.
No. You stay here. And you find him.
Arjao! Arjao!
Ali peers intently into the darkness. Farhad seems near panic. Arlo works at his station.
It's a 6-acre warehouse complex in Forest Hills. Farhad is somewhere in one of these buildings. Farhad must be there too. Drones are airborne, but I won't have eyes for another 12 minutes.
What about the police?
They're redirecting their resources, but it's a big area. It's gonna take a while to cordon off.
Director Hastings, you wanted to see me, sir.
In the absence of Agent Ortiz, I assume you're ready to take charge of the operation.
Yes, sir. 3 units standing by.
All right, I'll walk you up. A lot of pressure on you, Agent Owen.
No, I can handle it, sir.
All right, talk me through it. What's the attack grid?
Our working theory is that the nuclear materials are still in proximity of Farhad. Team's Alpha and Bravo tasked with locating and securing the rods.
What about Team Charlie?
They're responsible for the actual evac, sir. It's standard urban search and rescue. We're in, we're out.
Nothing standard about it.
Wait here. Jack. Jack. You've got something to say, say it.
Think about it. The people that are chasing Farhad already know they've got a big security problem, so most likely by the time your men get there, those fuel rods will be long gone. And you're down to one team covering Farhad. What if they run into resistance?
What if they do?
Well, at that point, you start shooting at people that have a higher intel value than the men you're going to try and save.
Agent Owen knows the priority is to take all hostiles alive.
Under fire, no assignment's more difficult.
Agent Owen has my full confidence.
Yeah. If that were true, you wouldn't be standing here talking to me.
You offering to bring in Farhad?
Yes. If you drop the criminal investigation against Renee Walker. Look, I know you don't. don't want to prosecute her. I can be your out.
I hear what you're saying, but I can't help you, Jack.
I've sat in that chair before. The chair you're sitting in now? I know what it's like. There's a lot of demands on you, many of them unreasonable. But the people that last here, the ones that mattered, they knew when to say no.
It's the White House. You don't say no.
You are the head of CTU. You've got a lot more juice than you think, especially with a nuclear weapon in play.
If we do this, Jack, that's not for one rescue operation. It's till this whole thing is over and done. You want Renee freed up, you're not in and out anymore. I want you in with both feet.
Jack considers this, holding Hastings' stare.
Deal.
Deal.
Jack heads back in. Dana talks to Ortiz.
I found an NYPD evidence warehouse in Queens with $120,000 from a drug bust just sitting there. It was only a matter of getting them in and out between patrols.
Wait, you actually committed a robbery?
Put yourself in my place, Cole. Kevin was gonna tell Hastings I'm a convicted felon. He was gonna ruin my life. What would you have done?
Not this.
Kevin promised that if I went along, he would never bother me again.
Let me guess. He didn't keep his end of the bargain. That's why you're here, isn't it?
What do you mean?
What's in your hand?
She holds up her pistol. He grabs it and inspects it.
You were going to kill them.
I don't know what I was going to do.
You were going to shoot them in cold blood.
Cole, listen to me. I was wrong. I see that now, but I was scared. I thought that I was doing this for us.
For us? Are you out of your mind?
I love you, Cole.
Don't say another word. Not one more word.
Cole, where are you going? Cole!
Stay in the truck.
Cole, don't do this. Cole. Please, I'm begging you. This is my problem, not yours.
Stay back.
Ortiz continues walking briskly towards Kevin's van, the gun in his hand. Dana looks around desperately. Nearing the van, he peers into the side door where the two reprobates sit lighting joints.
Hey!
Yeah, go for it. That way I only have to deal with one of you losers.
I think you got the wrong address, pal.
Do I? Yeah, somehow I don't think so.
Right, maybe you should just tell us what it is you want.
Maybe you should shut up and listen.
Cole, please, come on, let's just get out of here.
The penny drops and Kevin points knowingly at Ortiz.
I thought you looked familiar.
Look here, Nick. It's Soldier Boy.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Well,
it's a shame that you and I can't go grab a beer sometime, you know, just the two of us. I'm sure we'd have a lot to talk about.
I said shut up. Now, the way I see it, you guys have two choices. One, you go back to prison for grand larceny and aggravated assault.
I go back to prison, she goes back to prison.
My guess is she's prepared to live with that. Choice number two, I let you walk. You keep your 100 grand, or what's left of it, and you go back to wherever it is you came from.
That's it?
That's it. But if I ever see you in this city again, if I even hear about you crossing the state line, I'll skip the formalities and kill you myself. Do we have a deal or not?
Yeah. We had a deal.
Better be sure. want to see either one of you ever again.
Ortiz slides the door shut. Nick screws the cap back on a whiskey bottle and gets out a snub-nosed pistol.
What are you doing?
Going after him.
No, why?
Well, we get rid of him, we're right back in business with her.
Come on, man. We got what we came for. We got more. Right, let's not push our luck.
We're just getting started.
We're done.
Okay. Got me?
Nick stabs Kevin in the abdomen and then pushes him down viciously.
Cole, what you did back there, I'll never forget it.
Let's just get back to CTU.
Cole, I'm serious. Thank you.
Nick stalks purposefully up the path towards Ortiz and Dana. Kevin crawls out from the van. Nick opens fire with his pistol. Ortiz, however, uses the pump-action shotgun he impounded from their van to blow Nick away. Dana runs towards the van. Ortiz kneels by Nick's body. Dana takes the gravely wounded Kevin in her arms. Ortiz follows urgently. Ortiz looks down severely as Dana cradles the now evidently dying Kevin. 1 a.m., the end.